This recording, Minnesota 4, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in the North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which is surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid it on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." I was born in Liberal, Kansas, and my family and I moved to Minnesota when I was 8 years old. We lived in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, for until I graduated from high school in 2000. And then I came back to Kansas and went to Seward County Community College in Liberal. Then I came here to the University of Kansas, and I've been here ever since. Well, I've been surrounded by accents my whole life, because my grandma's from Alabama, so she has a very distinctive accent as well. And but then when we moved to Minnesota, it was really weird because people would, in the grocery store, would say things like, "Would you like a bag?" And we were like, "What's a bag?" And then we realized it was a bag. Or we would go out on the lake and on a boat, and there were just other things. A lot of people up there said, "Would you like to come with?" And that really drove my mom and dad crazy because they're like, "With whom?" they do say a lot of "yeah" and "sure." And I think a lot of that now is just because it's stereotypical. And so it's just been kind of formed into the mindset up there. It's what people want to hear, so they say it. Well, Brooklyn Park, it's a suburb of Minneapolis on the north side, and there's a lot of variety of people in that area because it's right next to North Minneapolis, which is very urban. So there's just a lot of different people. I had a lot of friends in high school of different religions and ethnicities, and Minnesota has the second highest Hmong population, second to California. So I had a lot of friends who were Hmong, which is on the Asian religion from the Cambodian Peninsula. So that was pretty cool. A lot of people aren't sure what Hmong is. And then, well, they called us Dark Center, which was just kind of a little jab at us. We were 49% minority and 51% white, so, which it wasn't true, but it was just funny that they called us that.